Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Sean Patrick Maloney, let's talk immigration in this time. Tell us a little bit about where you think the thing is going. I mean, I was talking to some colleagues today about the fact that there's a renewed emphasis on keeping the border secure. And at the same time, we're talking about, you know, a path to citizenship. How do you reconcile those two things?
Well, our immigration system is broken, and it desperately needs reform, number one. The emphasis on border security and worksite enforcement is a bipartisan thing, and it's encouraging, and we should stay focused on that. I support securing the border. I support verifying our workforce. People should know we're spending $18 billion a year securing the border, and we spend more securing the border than we do on the rest of all the rest of federal law enforcement. So we have dedicated enormous resources to that in recent years, and it's working. We can always do more, and we should. But I think we have got to get serious about bringing out of the shadows the millions of people who are here with no documentation. And we need to understand that one size does not fit all. If you're talking about kids, you know, dreamers, as they say, who were brought here by their parents, who are in school, who are playing by the rules, you know, there should be a path to citizenship for those kids that will strengthen our country. It's the right thing to do. If you're talking about people who've committed crimes or who are dangerous, you know, we should deport them, and there should be no questions asked. They should not be here. In the middle, you've got millions of people who should qualify, if they are going to meet certain criteria, for some type of legal status. On one end of the spectrum, that will mean citizenship. On another, it will mean something else. But we've got to take a practical approach to this so that we have got more people working, contributing to our economy. It'll make our country more competitive internationally. It will reduce costs in terms of law enforcement and other areas, and it's the right thing to do. And I think we're going to get it done this year in a bipartisan way. Neither side's going to get everything it wants, and that's good. We'll have a more secure border, a verified workforce, and we'll have people out of the shadows and being more productive, paying taxes and securing for the first time a legal status that's appropriate. We've also got to, can I just say one more thing?
Of course.
I think we've got to get serious about the backlogs. I mean, if you're from the Philippines and you're trying to get in the country and you've got family here, it can take 24, 25 years. Well, that's just ridiculous, and it makes a mockery of the whole system. So we've got to get rid of the backlogs. In addition, I think it's nuts that we send home people from countries who come here, get advanced degrees in science and engineering and math, and who want to start businesses here. We should absolutely make room and give green cards to those who have specialized skills, advanced degrees, particularly in what they call the STEM areas of science and technology and engineering and math, because they're going to create jobs here in America, and we should be attracting the most talented people from the world rather than sending them home.
When we talked earlier about same-sex marriage and how quickly the change occurred in the American populace favoring this, that a lot of politicians were caught unaware. On the immigration thing, we had Lou Dobbs shooting his mouth off on television and making a lot of hay with a lot of people about, you know, we got to close down the borders, we got to do this and that. I'm wondering, Sean, whether you think that there is a potential for the same sort of quick change among the American people on this. I do, because of basically what I see is the infrastructure of our small towns and cities, which are that, you know, immigrants are running the infrastructure.
Well, look, I don't support amnesty in any way, shape, or form, but I do think it makes sense that if there are common sense measures, right? Like if folks can pass a criminal background check, if they're learning English, if they're paying taxes, if they're getting in line behind those who came here legally, so we don't ever penalize somebody who's playing by the rules, and we make them apply for permanent residence before any possibility of citizenship. I think there's a sensible way to approach this that brings people in legally, that honors the folks who are trying to play by the rules. And I do think, to your point, that we're seeing a decrease in this hysterical reaction of trying to whip people up, trying to pit one person against the next. I mean, we are a country of immigrants. We need to grow our population. We want more people in the workforce especially as the baby boom gets older, because more people in the workforce means we'll have more people paying taxes and supporting things like Medicare and Social Security. That's one of the problems we have, is we aren't growing our population fast enough. And so we can benefit from immigration as we have since the founding of the country, but we should also secure the border, and we should verify the workforce and take these other steps so that we aren't rewarding illegal conduct, but we're also bringing out of the shadows the millions of people who are here already.
Sean Maloney, tell me about tax reform. We've got about two or three minutes here. If you had your wish list in order to make the tax code fairer, what would you do?
Well, we've got to get some of the more outrageous loopholes that have been written in there that just don't benefit anybody except the special interests who put them there. So I think it's crazy that we continue to give tax breaks to companies that outsource our jobs, that ship jobs overseas. We should not be giving tax breaks to the people who own luxury private jets. We should not be giving tax breaks to oil companies and the most profitable companies on the planet. You know, the tax code is riddled with things that just don't make sense. I do think it also, there's a very healthy conversation we should have about cleaning up the corporate tax code, where we could actually lower rates, make our corporate tax rate more competitive internationally. But again, get rid of all the loopholes. I'd also like to see the manufacturing rate brought down, because, you know, one of the things I've been focusing on, like a laser beam with Senator Gillibrand, is what's called the Made in America Act. We've got to make products again here in America. We've got to start doing manufacturing again. I love more high-tech manufacturing in the Hudson Valley. And we can do that if we have smart policies. So we need to reform the tax code. And it will make us more competitive, and it will create jobs in America.
You sit in a house that is dominated by Republicans. What are the chances that they're going to take the money away from the oil companies and the offshores and the rest of it? I mean, you can call me cynical, but I don't see that.
Well, you know, look, we're making some progress, and it's because they've cut everything else in sight. And once you've reduced discretionary spending to the lowest level in 40 years, Once you've put on furlough 2,000 guys at West Point, civilian workers at West Point, another 400 at Stewart Air National Guard. Once you've closed the tower at Dutchess County Airport, you know, a lot of Americans are going to start saying, "What the heck is going on with these special interests? And why are we still giving tax breaks to oil companies and companies that ship our jobs overseas and people who fly private jets?" I mean, there has to be some fairness here, and we have, you know, the cupboard is bare. If you're going to go after people on Medicare, you know, people are going to want to know what sacrifice the people at the very top are making. I think this is one of the reasons I'm in Congress, Alan, is that last year I ran against a woman, Nan Hayworth, who thought it made sense with her friend Paul Ryan to give huge tax cuts to multimillionaires while ending the guaranteed benefit of Medicare. That is a terrible idea, and you're seeing the same sort of thing in the tax reform area, where if the choice is protecting, you know, an oil company's tax break or cutting, Medicare benefits, that is, even the Republicans can't defend that one. We're going to win on that, and we're going to be able to do the right thing.
Sean Patrick Maloney is the congressman from the 18th District. And Sean, I can't tell you how much we appreciate your being here and speaking out the way you do, and we'll be seeing you soon. Thanks so much for doing it.
Thank you, Alan.